Happy Sabbath, church family. You know, when you sing like that, what else can you say? Thank you so much. God is love. And God will find you. It's quite interesting. Because about 30 years ago, I used to sit back there where the rope is. Pastor Madison will be up here. Mr. Tayagan will be doing summer school. And 30 years later, I see the kids growing. And the years they went past. So children, young people, stay in the church. Just like the way you sang today, you're going to need so many ups and downs, but stay there. Because God will find a way.
Amen.
Pastor Elson will be here next week. And today I'm standing on his behalf. I'd like to thank the Vista Church. I'd like to thank all the members for all your prayers. You know, fear. When you hear the word fear, so many things come to mind. The other day I was reading a little bit about fear. And one of the greatest fear in America, one of them, is public speaking. You sweat a little bit because everybody's paying attention. What are you going to say next? Well, thank you for your prayers, because here I'm standing on behalf of Jesus.
Amen.
Where he brought me, how can I not accept and speak? Because where he brought me is too far. How many of you speak different languages here? Raise your hand. More than two? Interesting. I also speak almost three, four languages. Brother Swatch says three, four, five. Amazing. So you can understand that coming from another country, sometimes the words can be a little bit up and down. So I pray to God that you'll be able to understand what I have to say this morning. For everybody over in teleconference, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 to 12. That's going to be our message this morning. Kindness in Lodebar. Kindness in Lodebar. You know, even here in Vista, if you aren't that so kind, probably would be so few of us here. But because of your kindness, that make a difference to somebody down the road. You can go back and say, okay, well, if God did not show kindness to you, I wonder where will you be? Today is Abba Day. And we are here. We are here because of his love and his kindness to listen to his word. Lord Abba. You might wonder that word, where does that come from? Lodebar. And I said kindness in Lodebar, because I'll also say kindness in Vista. Now, Lodebar is a town in the Old Testament in Gilead, Israel, the tribe of Gad, one of the cities of Canaan that Joshua destroyed. When you read Joshua 10:39, He says, "Debir." This word means no pasture. Nothing of important can be found there. Middle or nowhere. No pasture can be found there. Middle of nowhere. So, what kind of a kindness is there in Lodibar? I want you to travel with me. Today, many people live in the state of loneliness. There are some people who live by themselves. I even hear word out of the main street. Some people are dislocated. Nowadays, they even say mental health. I wonder. Some will say misunderstood, homeless, struggling single families, sickness, people in need of a better health. You know, I have my niece, beautiful young lady, just graduated almost two degrees from Andrews. She was over in Tri-City for some time, but this time for about a week. When I went to visit her, the kindness I saw from those nurses, the kindness I saw from her mom, and everybody who was surrounding her, I could not help to say that she will get well, and I'm very sure she will get well. Kindness. Outsider. Some people, they feel they don't fit. But let me come back to that. Listen to this a little bit. You see, my fellow church members, we live in Lodibar. We know someone in Lodibar. We speak the language of Lodibar. No one goes to Lodibar by their own will. Just happen to find yourself in Lodibar. Only God can take you out of Lodibar, that state of mind which the devil stole in our hearts. You see, this message today has to do with ourselves. And I'm going to go through four characters. But before I go to these four characters, I want to talk about the outsider. Have you ever felt like you don't fit? How many of you are in high school? Raise your hand. And in college. And even the group from OAE, I know you are for OAE, you are going to be going next year to high school. I got something for you. I pray to God this morning that you will not sleep until you hear this message. When I was 16, I was semi-homeless. You know why I don't say I was homeless? Because God was with me. My parents have gone back to Africa. They just finished their school over in Andrews. And I had to stay behind with my brothers. And I found myself very difficult. I had one pants for church and one for school and a jacket for winter. And they are trying to make it. But along the way, I met Grandma. Brother Joe, please don't pick on me. That's my young brother there. My grandma is in Africa, you know, many years ago. But I had a grandma in America, and that's the one I knew. Believe it or not, I didn't even know her name. All I knew was Grandma. She was the biggest thing to me at that time, when I was 16. Now, you know, in high school, I got a job there, because it was a day school. It was when Academy. And I used to wash the dishes and wipe the tables so they can pay half of my school fees at the academy there. And I was so proud of my job. But this one time, something happened. Young people, please don't laugh at me. You always start laughing. You know the banquets? Joram, where are you at? I call everybody over. Banquets. It was time to go to the banquet. And this time around, the girls were asking the guys, you know, you don't ask the guy who wipes the tables. The guy who only has one pants probably doesn't comb his hair. So here at Cleveland, I knew there's no way on this banquet. Only the best one, those who rich guys, those on the board there. My friend Doug, I know you remember those old days. Camaro Z28. That's what some of those kids were driving to school. But then, to my surprise, excuse me, my wife, I know you can understand this, but a young lady asked me to go to the banquet. She was quite something at the school. I look at myself, I just froze. And she said, aren't you going to say yes? I'm like, yes, and I'm like, yes. You know, it was the most difficult time in the last, for the last 3 weeks. How are you going to go to the bank where you don't have a suit? You don't have a car. You don't have the money to buy the bouquet. So my biggest fear was everybody's going to laugh at me. And then when I go to meet the father at the door, because, you know, you have to go there and knock at the door. And then Mister is going to come out and who are you? That's when I think I ran away. Young people, listen. Grandma, you know why she was so important to me? Because my classes sometimes wasn't doing well. She'll go to school. She knew everything about me, all my grades. She knew everything. I don't know how she found out that somebody asked me to go to a banquet. So I come home one day and say, Cleveland, aren't you going to the banquet? And I thought about it. Should I say yes or no? I said, Grandma, you know I like to go, but you know, I don't have anything. To make the story short, Grandma went to Salvation Army. Anybody know what is Goodwill? Young people, don't raise your hand if you're afraid. But those who are old like me, you know what is Goodwill. Grandma went and got me a suit, a Goodwill. I didn't even know. She fixed everything, the tie and everything. I did look sharp. I was ready for the banquet. So I went there. I said, Grandma, let me stand at the mirror so you can look at me. I look at the mirror and Grandma. So I asked Grandma, who do you think I look like? Grandma said, look like Sidney Poitier. I didn't even know who was that. Grandma, who was that? You know. She says, you look handsome. But guess what? I made it to the banquet. That was kindness I could not forget. And then, the last big one, is when I was marrying this young lady here. I did not have 50 cows. Over in Africa, you can understand, we have to come with some cows. I was short. And Grandpa Kazi, my wife's grandpa, said, I take care of the rest. And today, I have a beautiful wife.
Amen.
Young people, stay in church. Now, let me go back to Lorena.
four characters
in Lord Eber, King Saul. You know, when Samuel was old, his kids became the judges. They were so crooked. Bribery, power, people upset. So the elders in Israel, they said, Samuel, enough is enough. We need a king who we can see like any other nations. So God told Samuel, there's a man there named what? Saul. Saul became a king. He became so powerful. A great man. At one point he was reading. They said from the shoulder up, he was so high and tall that there was no any other around there. But something happened. He disobeyed God. After all that, he disobeyed God. Then we move to another character, David. Now David was the second king of Israel. We all know that. We all would know the story of David. But what does King Saul, what does David have to do with kindness in Lord Eber? Well, we know what David did. David was the youngest son of Jesse, king of Israel after Saul. He united all the tribe of Israel under a single monarch. He defeated the Philistines. If you read in Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2, it says, David says, I lift up my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In Psalm 51:10, David says, create in me a new heart, O God. Renew steadfast the spirit within me. But what does that have to do with Lord Eber? We come to another character, Jonathan, the first son of King Saul, a friend of David. Now, I want to read something on 1 Samuel 23:15-18. Those who are following teleconference, please, if you get a chance, go through this story. You'll find something, I'm sure. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Sifar, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul, the son of Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. This is the son of King Saul. Being friend with who? With David. What does this have to do with Lord Eber? I'm still getting there. Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. Named Mephibosheth. That was the son of Jonathan. Mephibosheth means from the mouth of shame, blowing away in confusion. He was the son of Jonathan. At the age of 3 to 5, something happened. You know Saul and Jonathan, they all died on the same day. I know you have read that. There was a panic. The panic on the palace. The king is dead. His son is dead. What's next? It's time to do what? To run. The nurse took the baby, Mephibosheth, at the young age. As they were running away, the baby fell. Mephibosheth fell on the floor, and he was crippled the rest of what? Of his life. The son of Jonathan fell. Everybody started running. He cannot go anywhere. To make the story short, Mephibosheth ended up in Lodebar. He did not plan to go there. It just happened. You know, sometimes we go through so many things. No one planned to be homeless. No one planned to be misunderstood. Sometimes it just happened. It ended up in Lodebar. And that's why the message this morning is entitled Kindness in Lodebar. Now, we have another character, very interesting. His name is Ziba. Z-I-B-A. All these are Hebrew names. His name is Ziba. Tough man, strong guy. Ziba was with Saul at his palace. It just happened that whenever it rained and everything was happening, he also ended up in the palace with King David. I like to call him the chief of staff. Look what happened to Ziba. If you read 2 Samuel 9, the 7 to 12, I read, he was the servant of Saul and worked at the palace for King David. He was called to appear before the King David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? He replied, your servant. The king asked, is there no one still left on the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness? David asked Ziba, is there still anybody left in the house of Saul where I can show kindness? The question this morning, is there still anybody left here where God can show kindness to you? On behalf of your church, on behalf of your parents, is there anybody else left where God can do what? Can show kindness. Church members, we are almost coming to the year where we'll be choosing again new people to serve the church for this coming year. So I pray to God that God is going to touch your soul so you can serve the Lord. Amen. Because the church needs you. The church is growing. I remember back when we had COVID. We came back to church that day. We were not even 10 of us. And we said, God will provide. But look at us today. Thank you for the visitors who came to church this morning. May God continue to bless you. Thank you for supporting the Vista Church. Is there anybody else God can help? Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he? Is he at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodebar? When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul, came to David, you know, you can imagine, the motorcade from the White House arriving to your neighborhood where full of drugs, people are miserable, people are homeless, and the motorcade come. I can imagine people to come out and look, what is going on? Ziba comes and knocks the door. Mephibosheth says, shaking. He's on the back room. He can't even walk. Ziba is looking for him. They say, you know what? He sits back there. He sits back on the way on the back there. He's on the sun there. But why do you want him? Why would this be caught? Well, because the king wants to see. Ziba takes Mephibosheth, and he goes on. When the son of Jonathan's grandson Saul came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father's Jonathan. I will show to you all the land that belongs to you, your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." That is our God. I don't know what you're going through, but just remember, God is going to be with you.
Amen.
You will make it. Because he promised. I like when the young people are singing that song this morning. It was quiet because the message, it came right deep. That's what said he brought me back almost 30 years ago. God is still waiting. David said, "Don't be afraid, for I'll surely show kindness for your father's sake." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should not a dead dog like me?" That's the message this morning. Mephibosheth says, "What is it? You can actually not a dead dog like me. I'm not making this up. You go and do it." That's how low somebody can go. But I got good news this morning. No matter how far you go, God will find you. God will bring you back to your place. If you continue reading, he says that David gave Mephibosheth everything his grandfather and his father. And not only that, he ate at king's table the rest of his life. How powerful our God is. You know, we're just passing by. We're just passing by. Our main goal is heaven. If you think over here in life here and there, you wait when you get up. I know, because I've read it. When you hear a foundation of gold, you know, I visited Dubai this summer with my family, and that's the area where this gold glittering. And I looked and they said, "Now, can you imagine going to heaven and the foundation is what? It's gold. Where you cannot cry anymore. Where you not be stuck anymore. Where you not be misunderstood." Let me touch that, misunderstood. You know, when God created you, you are created perfect. You can change the way you want to, but that will not change. That's how God created you. That cannot change. As I said earlier, I think grammar, because that suit form goodwill. To bear than a good suit. What do you say? Thank you to my wife. But things were tough. My point is very short. God is coming soon.
Amen.
God is coming soon. So hang on. Don't give up. Mephibosheth was brought from way in Lodeba to the king's table. And today here in Vista, I pray to God that God will show you kindness.
Amen.
May the Lord bless his word. May you be blessed and have a happy Sabbath.
Yeah.